what does it mean to be religious? And what is the religious life? And why would we be talking about this in a Unitarian Universalist congregation? What do we know about religion? I consider myself to be a deeply religious person. Now, I understand that people of a more orthodox faith will disagree with me, because I can't possibly be religious unless it's their religion and their God and their rituals. But I do not concede that the meaning of religion is found in the belief in a deity or deities. Hindus do very nicely with many deities. Humanists and many Unitarian Universalists and Reconstructionist Jews and Buddhists do very well without a mandated deity. A deity and the belief in one, affirmation of someone, some variant of Zeus, is not a prerequisite for being religious. Faith in the unseen is not a prerequisite for being religious. It may not even be a sign of being religious, because I don't believe that that is what religion means. I do not concede that ritual is the same thing as religion, and therefore the people who observe the most rituals are therefore the most religious. I do not concede that Jesuits are more religious than Franciscans, who are more religious than diocesan priests, who are more religious, God knows, than High Church Episcopalians or Low Church Episcopalians or Presbyterians, Lutherans of any synod, and you go down this order from highest possible church to lowest possible church. I do not concede that the ultra-Orthodox are more religious than the merely Orthodox, who are more religious than the conservative, than the reform, than even those Reconstructionists who don't have a mandated belief in a God. That's not what religion is. I also don't concede that ritual makes you religious. A line that I love quoting from a fundamentalist with whom I agree on nothing else, but he did say, going to church don't make you a Christian any more than sleeping in the garage makes you a car. It's a great line. Although sleeping in church may make you a car, I'm not sure. It is not praying five times a day. It is not keeping kosher. It may be avoiding Coors beer, but that's a Unitarian issue from the past. And non-union grapes and lettuce. But that's really where I'm going. It is in the observance of our connection with each other and not in the various issues of ritual. We get really confused where we think that the person that has the strongest belief system that brooks no question is the most religious, or the person who is the most observant of rituals or of practices is the most religious. Ritual is a reminder of how to be in the world. It is not a replacement for righteousness. You can wear all of the religious paraphernalia and pray as many times a day as you want and go through the wonderful religious binge purge cycles of feasting and fasting. But if you don't remember when you're going through the non-feasting part that it's supposed to be to save food and money for the poor, you've missed the point. The point of ritual is to remind us to decency, to a sense of compassion and a sense of connection to each other and to this beautiful and wounded, some would say broken world. Religion is not about belief. It is about practice. Where we get our religious inspiration, I don't think is important to anyone other than to the individual. Whether you come from being nourished and having your spiritual life nourished, your spiritual and physical batteries recharged. Where you go to get the recharging is not as important as what you do with the energy that lets you engage the world. Engage a big and often frightening world that doesn't really seem sometimes to be amenable to our efforts. But what keeps us connected to it and to each other? That to me is the religious impulse. I talk often about the root word, the meaning of the word religious, religare, meaning to be bound up together. Bound up together in the sense that we know our connection to each other. That in this world we do not have separate fates because of where we live or the melanin content of our skin. We share a planet, we share an atmosphere, we share an ocean, and we will not have separate destinies in the long run for our families and, of course, in the short run for ourselves. One of those great Charles Dickens lines is that we are to look at each other as if we're on a common journey and not separate creatures on separate journeys to the grave. We are in this thing together. And the sense that we share this sunshine, this light, this time, calls to us to be engaged in the world. I think the very... even classically, I won't just completely own this myself, classically, when they have looked at those deadly sins, the most deadly of the sins is sloth, because it's a kind of depression that isolates us from people, that isolates us from the future, that just says, it's too hard. I can't do it. It's not worth getting up today. The problems just are not going to bend to my will. But what the religious person does is understand that what we choose and what we do today makes some difference. It may not single-handedly change the world, but together, like grains of sand in a machine, we do make a difference. That's our religious faith. The faith that people may have in other worlds and other dimensions and other times, that's fine. But today, to know that this shared life, this shared breath, makes a difference to the world, is, to me, the religious impulse. I look at societies and individuals who have, in my view, made a wrong turn, and I think of the Midas myth. King Midas, everything he touched turned to gold and left him alone with a cold metal. His love turned to gold and it had no value. The people he cared about turned to gold. If you're talking about the ultimate hardening of the heart, it is in the gold. And there is a myth that operates on so many levels. Whether it is an economic level or a psychological level, it tells us a fundamental truth. Our lives are with people. Our lives entail an open heart that feels the pain of the world and isn't stunned into silence and inactivity by the pain of the world. It is a sensitivity to what is going on with the other. And a connection and a shared sense of fate and destiny over which we have some influence. To me, that is religion, and that is the religious life. It happens to be that we're a very popular congregation here today. And when those saints come marching in, believe me, they'll find all of you ready for the rapture. As I was preparing this sermon, I thought about the last five memorial services I conducted in here for members of our congregation. And there was a pattern, starting with Lorraine Rothman, whom you will remember was an educator on women's issues, on women's rights, involved in social action, involved in our community. involved as an example and as a teacher and as an activist in so many ways. If you had asked her in a conventional sense, Lorraine, are you religious? So what are you talking about? Devoted to life. Bill Pryor. You heard about today, those of you who didn't know Bill, a president of this congregation, a key member of the Social Action Committee, someone who was always there and ready to work for peace, to not simply to take a vote, but to stuff envelopes, to show up, to act out his values in the world. Bill cared. He lived in France, he lived in Ethiopia, he lived in Vietnam. He dedicated his life to making a difference to people who didn't necessarily look like him and didn't necessarily believe in exactly the same things he may have believed in. But he was engaged in the world. And we go on to Charlie Everett. And Charlie Everett, just a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago, who was always ready to say yes. Always ready at any moment in this congregation or in the larger community when somebody needed something, you asked Charlie, and without complaint, without drama, without martyrdom, he just said yes to being of help and to being of use. Before that, there was Rose Bale. Rose was born to be a social action person. She was born in good New York left-wing politics, where she worked for peace, she worked for equality, she worked for social justice and equality among the races, and modeled it by taking in a boarder who was a Muslim, and Rose was a Jew. And at every level, she said yes to putting her values into action. And then last week, Robert Wayman, who many do not remember, but some remember with great affection, professionally a social worker, and beyond his profession, being someone who created the Christmas in April program and the Rebuilding Orange program, and somebody who was always there for friends, for the community, for the larger community, for people he didn't know. What is religious? Praying three times a day if you're Orthodox, or five times a day, going on a holy war or a jihad? No. Opening up your eyes to the world. Opening up your hearts to the world. Making your actions fit your values. It doesn't mean that every encounter is immediately given a payback by winning. It means that we, with effort, struggle as individuals in community, and community in a larger community, and nations in a larger world. That our sense of responsibility and to be engaged in the healing of this beautiful and wounded world is something that calls to us at the core of our being, and we know that we can't do it alone. Individuals can make a great difference, or at least be chosen by the media or history to be recognized as having made the difference. But they all come out of a milieu. They all come out of an environment that said, it's worth getting up today and trying to fix the world. It's worth sitting down today and not moving. It's worth being involved and not winning, because it's simply the right thing to do according to our values. I always loved that very famous line from Mother Teresa. She said that leading the religious life is not about doing great things. It's about doing small things with great love. The difference that we make to each other as human beings, that I've seen as I lit that candle in the last couple of weeks, but over the years, the difference that we make to each other and to our immediate community and to the larger world is astounding. It's the place that we can take energy from, recharge our batteries, to be re-engaged with our world and with each other. And as our banner says, we don't have to think alike to love alike. We don't have to all be on the same page or have exactly the same priorities in terms of those parts of our world that we work on fixing, but to know that we are in it together and that it is our job to fix, to heal, to mend, to spackle, to paint, to saw, to nail, to feed, to hold, to hug, to love one another. And with all of the pain and all of the problems, our job is essentially not to be the martyr who dies for belief and not to be the prophet who cries from despair, but to be the religious that joins together with other weak and flawed human beings hand in hand to create, not accept, but create a future with our passions, our hearts, and our hands.